This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Molosan Bonani, hello, how's it? Good morning. On this, the Wednesday edition of the show, for a second there, I wasn't sure of my dates. My name is Sihle Ngobese, aka Big Daddy Liberty. This is Vuka Nazo, your morning news analysis show. Now, you'll notice, of course, that I'm not coming to you from my usual studio location. Well, mostly because I cannot come from you. From there, at least because of Eskom, or at least the city of Durban, one of the two, who have rendered us without power for the last 24 hours. But be that as it may, we'll keep the show going. Good morning, welcome to it. Remember, if you want to get in touch with us here at the BDL show, it's easy. Find us on our website at www.bigdaddyliberty.com. As I said, I'm not in my studio location. Things will be a bit noisy, but I'm sure you can hear me just fine. And with that being said, enough of the jibber jabber. Let's get straight into the news. Right, we begin here this morning on the north coast of KwaZulu-Natal, indeed in the Umhlathuze municipality. That's, of course, Richards Bay, which, as you'll know, is heavily contested right now between the IFP and the ANC. Ward 12, of course, will be a by-election today being held. In fact, voting is likely at the time of speaking, at the time of this video, will be well underway. As I said, the campaigning ahead of this particular ward by-election has been insanely fierce, with both the ANC and the IFP vying for this particular seat. Now, the interesting thing, of course, comes out of the ANC's revelations, or the ANC's accusations, against a One Gift of the Givers. Yes, that organization, which does fantastic NGO work around the country. The ANC's Bheki Mtolo, that's the regional leadership of the ANC here, accusing the organization of political bias. This after the NGO was handing out food parcels in the area, presumably at the same time as an IFP event. Now, in response to this, the head of this particular organization, a Dr. Imtiaz Suleiman, who you all know, of course, a very popular figure in this country, had this to say. Suleiman didn't mince his words, saying that his organization was a political. Gift of the Givers, he's quoted as saying, has an apolitical stance, assisting communities in various parts of the country, irrespective of the political party, the mayor or councillors as to where they belong to. He goes on to say, we've assisted multiple areas where the predominant party was the ANC itself. End of quote. Of course, he's absolutely correct. This is the same Gift of the Givers that has been drilling boreholes, for example, in the Midlands municipality where the DA is in governance, the same municipality that's been doing work assisting ANC-run municipalities in Eqeberha, for example, in drilling for water, and other municipalities across the country. It sort of rings hollow for the ANC to complain about this particular incident, but of course they will, because for them, the desperation to cling onto power, the desperation to claw back municipalities that they lost in the last local government elections, is becoming palpably clear. Again, as I conclude this particular section, I'll say this. The Umhlathuze municipality in particular is one where, and that's Richards Bay, the city, is one where the IFP itself has come out to say the amount of graft and corruption that it has had to begin to clean up from the previous administration, which was an ANC one, will leave your mind boggling. Now, again, as to whether Gift of the Givers was giving out these food parcels around the same time as the IFP was campaigning is neither here nor there. The issue in this country is the poverty. The very fact that organizations like Gift of the Givers exist in the first place should see the ANC shut the F up when it comes to any criticism against them. And why? Because, well, the rampant poverty that Gift of the Givers is responding to is directly correlated to the failed policies of the government in this country. The very policies that create the poverty that organizations that Gift of the Givers are responding to. So the ANC in this particular regard, whether it wants to win back Umhlathuze or not, is relevant. It needs to shut the F up when it comes to issues of poverty, because if it's going to point any finger at Gift of the Givers, it needs to know that four are pointing right back at them. All right, from KZN, I take you now to the Free State, indeed the small town of Jagersfontein, which, as you'll know, has literally, almost like in a biblical sense, had a flood ransack the town and destroy as many as 60 to 100 homes in that part of the world. And what makes it worse is this flood, of course, comes from a particular dam that was operated by a mine in the area. The dam itself not holding necessarily fresh water, but a rather toxic slurry of sorts of the after effects of mining activity. Now, the minister, Gwede Mantashe, the latest, of course, is the minister of minerals in this country, Gwede Mantashe, set to make an appearance in the town of Jagersfontein, with the piece in the EWN explaining his visit, proposed visit, as follows. The minister, of course, is expected to meet the victims of Sunday's ordeal and hear firsthand the traumatic experience they've been going through since losing their homes on Sunday. On Monday, the Kopano local municipality, that's the municipality that runs Jagersfontein, told Eyewitness News that it estimated that between, as I said, 60 and 100 homes were flooded when a mine dam cracked, opening and flooding the area, end of quote. Now, of course, the appearance of the mining minister in this town is neither here nor there. It does really nothing to aid the people of this particular town, who are devastated, of course, by the effects of the dam wall breaking and that toxic slurry rushing through their town. Indeed, even the president's promise of there being quote-unquote government assistance on the way should be taken with a pinch of salt. Take it from us here in KZN after the floods for reference in that regard. But here's the real issue for me in this particular story. We have a situation where the very state of the country, insofar as our inability to maintain infrastructure, is coming back to haunt us. It's coming back to bite us in the bum. There will be a blame game that is played on this particular issue of the minister pointing fingers at the company that ran the mine, the company that ran the mine probably pointing fingers back at government and so forth. But all of this is irrelevant insofar as there are residents right now of that small town who are reeling, who are suffering and need urgent help. And for me, there's two things at play here that need to sort of happen. One, we need to see as many as possible NGOs step in into that part of the world. And this is where, if you'll excuse me for biting on my previous story, organizations like Gift of the Givers play an instrumental role in assisting. But in the second, there needs to be accountability. And in this regard, criminal charges need to be brought forward, not just to, by the way, the former mining company that ran and was meant to maintain that particular dam, but also government officials. Where was the accountability? Where was the forewarning? How is it possible that a dam wall like this one breaks and there was no forewarning whatsoever? Because for me, this is the takeaway. If it happens in Jagersfontein, it is likely to happen elsewhere. And who then will step in to assist those folks? Something has to begin to happen insofar as ensuring a culture of accountability in this country. And maybe prison time for certain government officials is warranted at this stage. All right, I take you to Cape Town now, where an interesting piece of information, some data has come out. The Minister of Human Settlements, that's one Minister Kubayi, of course, responding to a parliamentary question effectively on the issue of how many homes were illegally occupied in the Western Cape, basically pointed out that if you combined the city of Cape Town and the Matsikama region, of course, about 214 homes were illegally occupied. She goes on to say that of those, about 50 of those homes had her departments initiate some form of eviction in that regard. Now, I raise this particular story but as a reminder to you of something we've covered in the week, which is how politicians and the political elites do not really care around issues of property rights and crimes against those who are property owners. Why? Because their leftist ideology simply doesn't allow them to do that. Let me be precise and specific. Here you have, in that very same piece where this data came out, one such lefty organization, indeed a politically elite one, insofar as the work it does and who it schmoozes with, an organization called Lifuna Ugwazi. Its attorney, Johnti Koga, is cited in the piece in response to this data as saying the following. Let's just listen to this forked tongue response. Lifuna Ugwazi's attorney, Johnti Koga, said that land occupation was not right, but the government was equally wrong to criminalize desperate people who wanted housing. He said the increase in land occupation was a consequence of the government's failure to deliver housing at scale and redress the, quote, toxic legacy of apartheid spatial planning, end quote. Now, I come back on this particular point because it's testament to the point I was making earlier on, the forked tongue nature of it, how on the one hand, there is the feigned, the pretense, the shamming of, calling out or criticizing the violation of property rights. And then in the very same breath, basically justifying it and saying, well, you know, it's happening because the state is not providing housing. First of all, it is not for the state to provide housing. What we should be encouraging in this country, and this is the real policy direction I would encourage we take, is actually a society where ordinary people are able to build their own homes. How and why? Well, through effectively a market economy that creates jobs, people who have jobs earning an income, from that income building savings, from those savings buying, of course, whatever they need, from housing to household goods and the like. You can go down the line. However, leftist ideology simply doesn't see that reality. In the leftist mind, in people such as those in organizations like Ndifunukwazi, politicians and the political elites, they don't see that reality. What they would rather see is the fugazi, the pipe dream of the state shell. Remember what I said in a previous episode, any politician, any political elitist who comes to you and says the state should or the state shall is simply selling you a pipe dream. It is snake oil that they're peddling. The state can never provide homes for all the poor people in this country who need them. What we need instead is a policy direction that incentivizes creating job people who have jobs and people who are business owners in this country so that they can afford to create indeed their own, or build rather, their own homes, if not build, buy their own homes. That's the shift in ideology, shift in mentality that I often speak about. And if anything, these are the sort of organizations that I often warn you against. All right, that's it from me this morning. Apologies once again for the noisy environment, folks. I simply couldn't do this in my home studio because we have no power. Thank you, City of Durban. Thank you, Eskom. And let me say thank you in a more genuine way to you for watching this show. Remember, you can find us at our website, www.bigdaddyliberty.com. There, please, how about you consider contributing to the show? As little as 100 Rand to 150 Rand a month is more than enough to help us grow the show and, of course, improve its quality as we go along. With that being said, all of our social media details are in the descriptor of this video. Thank you for watching, and I'll see you tomorrow, bright and early, from 7 a.m. on Vuganazo.